If you want to support the show, any of the shows, either this or whichever show, I'm not on right now because this is just a blanket ad for all of them, and the website, you can go to bewareofspoilers, .com. In the description for any of the episodes of Beware of Spoilers, there is the option to donate. If you don't want to donate that way, you can donate directly through the website. We do have that, mwpnews.com. And if you don't want to support that way, then going to mwpnews.com will help out because we have ads there. We don't want to keep it, where there's a lot of ads. There's a few ads. But the point is, we want to make it so that way, we can sustain this for the long term. If people donate, we're never going to paywall anything, I don't think, as of right now. But if people, if people start donating, we'll start doing cooler and cooler stuff. Like donations are how we get to cover stuff like Tribeca and other, film festivals. And, we may be able to bring on more people to help out. So if you want to help out the show and you want more content from us, by all means, even just going and giving us a 5-star rating on Spotify helps out a lot. But that's it. That's the only ad we'll have on the podcast ever. But here's whatever podcast you're going to be listening to. Good morning, and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam. It is Monday morning, and this weekend, Doctor Who returns, in a way that is a lot more conducive to being watched, if you ask me. Because I tried to watch, I fell off for a while with Doctor Who. I watched it, the show is, the season's basically a soft reboot anyway, might as well soft reboot the story too about where I am with this. I watched while I was in college through Matt Smith's regeneration, and then I dropped off with Capaldi. Not because I don't like Peter Capaldi, because I was like, oh shit, this is really a great choice. Because I had watched the thick of it, and I was like, oh, and this guy's gonna play the Doctor. This is a great choice. I love this casting. And then it was kind of like, that was kind of the start of, for me at least, at that point, I don't know how the release cadence worked under the previous Doctors. So, for me, this was the point where I was like, oh, so we don't get this just once a year, or anything on a set release cadence. Is just kind of and okay, so it's gonna happen, whatever, it is what it is. So I'd fallen off, and then they brought on Jodie Whittaker. I tried to catch up on Jodie Whittaker, and then I didn't, and so I watched The Power of the Doctor, which was the BBC Centennial special, which was the, I think that was the last episode for Jodie Whittaker, where she regenerated into David Tennant. And then they go into, the 60th anniversary specials, which we talked about late last year. And then I gotta learn how to pronounce his name. Nkudi Gatwa, I think is his name. I think that's how you pronounce it. But either way, we are going to what's it called? And I saw his first episode, I enjoyed it, and here we are in this. And when I was watching the specials last year, one of the things I did was I went back and I watched the first season with Eccleston, which was the revival back in 2005, 2004, 2005, 2006, something like that. But I watched that, and one of the things I'm struck by, having seen this, and again, haven't rewatched the other seasons, or watched, the new seasons that I haven't seen before. But one of the things I'm struck by is how much the 14th Doctor, 14th, no, 15th Doctor is mirroring the first Doctor in a very has to be deliberate way. Because it's one of those things where it's like you start out with, you know, okay, so we have this episode where we introduce the companion, this blonde girl from England, and I mean, as the case, and we're going to, you know, wrap her in a mystery out of the gate, instead of, you know, they did have a mystery around Rose, but that was toward the end of the season. And even then it wasn't really a mystery, it was kind of Rose did something and explained something you saw in the background the entire time through the season. And here's where we are with this show. Episode 1 is the introduction. We learn about the companion, we see their dynamic with the Doctor, we see what kind of forces the two of them together, and then the Doctor extends the hand of like, look, why don't you come with me and go on this journey and we can, you know, you can be my companion. So that's all well and good. Then we get to the next episode. And the next episode is kind of a primer for all the information you're gonna need. And that was one of the things that I was like, I understand because I've talked about this run on Disney Plus and all of that, where it's like this is an on-ramp. If you aren't familiar with Doctor Who, this is the on-ramp on what this is. It's like, he's a Time Lord, there was a genocide of the Time Lords, he's the last one, and he, you know, Time Lords from Gallifrey, they have two hearts, they fly through time and space in a TARDIS. The TARDIS is a time-relative dimension, dimension in space, and then there's also the, you know, oh, why is it like a police box? Well, it has chameleon circuits blend in. But it broke when we were in 1963, and now it just kind of stuck like that. Okay, great. You're all caught up. You now know everything you need to know. From the last, you know, like the bare minimum you need to know to understand what's going on in this show from the last 60 years. Congratulations, you're caught up. I think they handle that pretty well because they make it at least engaging, and I think giving that, you know, letting, you know, Ruby be the one to, like, okay, so I need to know this, I need to know this, I need to know this, and then it's like, all right, we're good, let's go. And then they go to the future, which is the same thing Eccleston and Rose did. Eccleston and Rose go to, what's it called? They go to the end of Earth in the second episode, which is where they meet Cassandra. Cassandra was her name? The last biologically pure human, who is stretched out in some kind of disgusting face-on-skin thing that needs to be constantly moisturized. So, then, alright, that's, you know, that's that. And in the second episode here, they go to the far future, and they're on a space station. Similarly, they're on a space station, and they have to solve a mystery on the space station. Then we go to the next episode, where they go to the past. In the original, they go to, I think it's like 17th century, or 18th century. Here they go to 1963. And it's interesting how much this is just straight mirroring what we had already seen. And when we take into consideration, the other big thing from this show is that they're introducing this idea that there is, like, a pantheon of characters that are antagonistic forces that kind of represent, like, arts and leisure, maybe? I can't imagine what it would be like to write those kind of characters. That would be fun, I think, if you haven't read The Muses. Anyway, but, you know, because we had, you know, the toy maker, or the toy master, the toy, whatever his name was, Neil Patrick Harris in The Giggle, and then we also had, like, the fact they explicitly tie, like, oh, this person is descended from the toy maker, the maestro is descended from the toy maker, and
Maestro controls music. And this idea that these are threats that are so big that the Doctor's like, look, these things are bigger than us. These are gods. And they are going to be, like, they have powers beyond anything I can do. Yes, I beat the Toy Maker on a game of catch, but that was luck. And I got lucky, and he made a mistake, and that's how I was able to beat him. So, you know, introducing this idea of, like, oh, there is, this is in play. And almost certainly this has something to do with Ruby. And look, I think that the clear, you know, what's it called? The clear, like, what's I'm looking for here? The clear, like, you know, telegraphing they're doing, I guess would be the right word, is Ruby is also one of these. Like, Ruby doesn't know who her parents are. She was dropped off as a child. And the Doctor went to go see in the church on Ruby Road. He sees this person in a shroud, drop her off, and he can't go back there because it's dangerous to go back there. That was another thing that I was like, that's an interesting callback, because they do, again, something similar in Nine's run. So is it possible that we're dealing with a character who's writing the narrative, where the bad guy this season is a literal writer? That would be a really interesting idea. Someone who's writing out the narrative and is controlling the whole thing that way. Could be interesting. And then it could also open up the idea that, where is Gallifrey right now? Assuming that they didn't retcon this at some point during 12 or 13. Where is Gallifrey? Gallifrey is trapped in a painting. If they didn't retcon that, because that was where they left it off in the 50th anniversary, is they saved Gallifrey by trapping it in a painting. And it's in this gallery where the curator is, which is, you know, Tom Baker. A later iteration of the Doctor, an unknown later iteration of the Doctor, is overseeing this gallery. In the gallery is Gallifrey trapped in a painting, in stasis, ending the Time War. And could that be something else that comes into play later this season as well? If we're dealing with things like this, where it's like, okay, so we have music, we have gamesmanship, like, and that was the other thing too, is that in the second episode, we're dealing with another, like, we're dealing, like, I don't want to say childish, that sounds dismissive, but, you know, the first episode has them with they're abducting this baby. The second episode, we have a bunch of babies that are running the spaceship, and it is a baby's idea of fear as the bad guy with the boogeyman. And it's like, they don't know, like, the computer doesn't know how to make that properly, so it makes, you know, it makes the boogeyman. So, it's an interesting thing. Like, I think there's a lot of ways it could go this season. I just want to see more of these characters get introduced. Because that's the most interesting thing, is that, like, oh, you're dealing with these things that are essentially deities who have very specific control. And they're trying to destroy creation. Like, the minute they introduce the Maestro, and the Doctor's like, oh shit, this, like, the Maestro is something beyond, you know, my capabilities even. That immediately sets the tone for what we're dealing with this season. And it's something that's like, oh, these are ancient forces. And I seem to recall there was a retcon of the Doctor where it's like, yeah, he's adopted, but isn't he also, like, something primal? So could it be that, like, while Ruby is dealing with trying to come to terms with who she is and find her real family, could the Doctor be dealing with that as well? Where these are primal forces of nature the concept of fairness, the concept of music itself, the concept of time itself, could be one of those. And if that's the case, could that be what this is going toward as well? This is all speculation. I don't have any inside information or anything like that. I'm very interested to see where this kind of goes. I think they've done a very good job in these first two episodes of kind of laying out this groundwork. And I think the idea of the bad guys putting a companion in the Doctor's way as something that is like, oh, this is gonna fuck them over later, is a really interesting idea, and I think it's something they could play a lot with. I'm really interested in this season now. But we'll wrap up there for today. Tomorrow we'll have our first episode of the backed episodes that we're gonna start putting up. Will be going up. I think tomorrow is Venom from 2018. And then in the morning at around same time as usual, unless I forget to upload it while I'm at work, we'll be doing we'll be finishing up The Girls on the Bus. But until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.